Well, I tell you, God's so good, isn't He? And I remember back in 1976, I was born and raised in the foothills of Virginia. I lived in the western part of the state, and God saved me in 62, and in a little country Baptist church. God transformed my life, made something out of me when I wanted nothing to start with. But I read about the old Brush Harbor meetings. It brought recollection of that as Steve was singing that. And I had a burden in my community where I lived at that time. My wife and I lived there, and I pastored a little Baptist church while I was in Bible college. And God laid on my heart to have a Brush Harbor meeting. I didn't know how to build one, but I still got pictures of it. There's an old gentleman that he's dead and gone now, but he let me cut a lot of trees out of his woods. And I built that thing 30 foot wide, 70 foot long. Took me nearly all summer to just about get it built. And I took chicken wire and I put poles on top of it. I'm a country boy raised on a farm, so I know how to put poles on a roof of a building. And I stretched chicken wire all across that thing. And I took all the brush that we cut out of the trees and throw it up on top of that. It looked good. Then I built me a stage out of old gray barn lumber and built me a pulpit out of a poplar 8-inch log. A beautiful cross. Still got pictures of it. Built me a platform to hold my Bible, and we preached 3 weeks behind that thing. Well, I preached the first week. Then I had some other preachers come and help me. And they came from Kingsport, Tennessee. Times Tribune, if I recollect it right. I may be wrong on that. And they took pictures and put it in the paper. I didn't ask them to do that. They heard about it. But there's an old boy that I'd witnessed to for years. Couldn't win him to the Lord. Couldn't get him to come to church. But he come to that Brush Harbor meeting and got saved. Now he's a deacon in that Baptist church God called me to preach out of. Isn't that wonderful? God knows what He's doing. Well, I just wanted to share that with you. That's not part of my message. But that encouraged my heart, Brother Steve. It'd probably pay us good to go back to some of them Brush Harbor meetings. Amen? We've got so dignified and petrified in our churches. You could almost, well, most churches, some of them's got Dr. Jack Frost as their pastor, and you could skate down the aisle, couldn't you? You heard about them deacons, didn't you? When I'm dead and in my grave, let them deacons shed no tears, for I shall be no deader then than they have been for years. Well, let's read the Word of God, okay? We better. That's enough of that. Matthew chapter 16. I just love the Lord, don't you? Thank God for what He means to me. You pray for me tonight, and I want to try to be a blessing if I can. Matthew chapter 16. Let's stand as we read a few verses together. We'll begin reading at verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be seated. Father, I pray tonight that, Lord, you would just speak to thy servant. God, I pray that your word would go out tonight, not in word only, but in power and demonstration of thy spirit. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for what you did at Calvary. Don't ever let us get over Calvary. And Lord, what Jesus did there. And I just pray you'd move upon our hearts and souls tonight. Stir us in these last days, Lord, that we might be about our Father's business and have joy in it. And Father, we'll be very careful, Lord, to bow our unworthy heads at the blood-stained feet of our Savior. For we ask that, God, you'd have your will and way in all of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Over and over again throughout the Bible, we find that men are brought to the place where they have to make a decision about this man called Jesus. There were many who criticized our wondrous, wonderful, worthy Lord. And there were those who even condemned him. And there were also those many who confessed him as their Lord and Savior. To some, he was nothing more than a meal ticket. All they was after was the fishes and the loaves. To some, he was nothing but a miracle worker. They wanted to see some sign or some great miracle. But to some, he was a man. But oh, what a man he was. Paul told young Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And when Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul made this statement, For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight, but I thank God that there is one mediator between humanity and God. And that man is the Savior. And he's man's link to God. I'm glad that there is a man called Jesus. He asked his disciples here, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that Peter was not ashamed of the fact that he knew who Jesus was. And I'm glad tonight that I know who Jesus is. And I'd like to preach on that thought. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. Let me give you several reasons why I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. First of all, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of this world. I tell you, that ought to stir our souls tonight, and it ought to move our hearts to think that one day in eternity past, the Lamb of God took away my sin and your sin. The older I get, the more I realize that how sinful this old flesh really is. And I realize that how undeserving and how unprofitable that I've been down through these years. But, you know, in spite of all of that, He still saved me anyway. And I tell you, He gave me joy down deep in my heart. And that joy was unspeakable and full of glory. I'm glad that I know who this man called Jesus really is. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, the Bible said. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. You see, John came crying out of the wilderness. He was the forerunner who brought the Lord on the scene. And yet John, down at the river of Jordan, declares to you and I, "Behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of this world." Oh, I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. But when I read throughout the Bible, I think of how that God showed us this man called Jesus all the way back into the Old Testament. In one of the greatest chapters, I believe, there is in all of the Bible, in Genesis 22, God said to Abram, "Take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee." And we find there that Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "Father." And he said, "Yes, son." He said, "Father, we've got the wood and we've got the fire, but where is the sacrifice for the burnt offering?" You remember that story, how that Abraham made one of the greatest statements of faith that's ever been made. I tell you, he picked up this telescope and looked down through the channels of time, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a sacrifice." And about that time, Isaac was laid upon that altar that his father had built, and Abraham draws back to take the life of his own son. But God stays his hand and he shows Abram there a ram that's caught by its horns in the thicket. And listen, Jesus made this statement. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and yet he was glad." You say, "Preacher, now did Abraham really see Jesus' day?" Why, sure he did. Why, when he turned and saw that ram caught by the horns in that thicket, you know what he saw? He saw the cross of Calvary and the Son of the living God with a crown of thorns on his head. And all that day, Isaac was set free. He saw a sacrifice and he saw a substitute. And that day Isaac got to be set free. And that evening Isaac got to eat in the father's house. You know why? There was a substitute and a sacrifice. Thank God. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad not only the fact that he is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, but I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. He is the lily of all of my valleys. The Bible said in the Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 1, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley." If you'll note there, the word lily is in singular. It means there was only one lily. But the word valleys is in plural. That means that there were many valleys. There's many valleys in this whole world for you and I. I tell you, sometimes We like to get on top of the mountain, and I like to get on top of the mountain. After all, when you get on the mountain and have the mountaintop experience, you get to see the S-O-N, and you get to see how fresh the air really is and how clear the water is. But I tell you, sometimes most of the Christian life, I find, has lived in the valleys. But oh, listen, you may be here tonight and you're walking through some valley. Your heart is heavy with a burden, and your heart is heavy, and your heart is broken over some circumstances that you've had in your life's experience. I tell you, you may be here and your back may be up against the wall. You may be going through the valley of despair. You may be going through the valley of discouragement. And you may be going through the valley of defeat. But I tell you, did you know something? I tell you, when you go through the valley, I tell you, you get to smell the fragrance of the lilies. I tell you, listen, there are valleys that we go through. But I'm glad that I know this lily of the valley. One of these days, I tell you, Jay, we're going to go through the life's valley. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thank God one of these days we'll get through that valley and we'll end up on the other side. You know why? Because I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He's the lily of my valleys. But I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. It's because He's the lover of my soul. He's the lover of my soul. When I read the Bible, I find that the Bible lets me know that there's one who loves me. In 1 John 3 and verse 1, John said, behold. That little word, behold, means to gaze upon. It means to marvel at, stand in amazement of. I tell you, John said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The Bible said in 1 John 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God is rich in His mercy for His great love, wherein He hath loved us. We used to sing that old song, the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. I tell you, there are many kinds of love known to man in this world today. There's a love for the man's love for his wife, a wife's love for her husband, a love the parents have for their children, a love that the children have for their parents, a love the pastor has for the sheep of God's pasture. But I'm here to tell you, the love that exceeds and excels, the love that transcends and transforms, the love that is beyond, more better, and more blessed than all other loves, is the love that God loves me. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were all the sky parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, and it reaches to the lowest tail. The love of God, how rich, how pure, how marvelous and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and the angels' song. I tell you, just to recall, to remember, to reflect upon God's great love, it ought to stir our hearts. It ought to move our souls to think that the Son of the living God laid down his life for you and me. Greater love it no man that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I like what Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 5, picking up at verse 6. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. And the while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. I tell you, if you're not saved, I want you to know tonight, God loves you. I tell you, I thank God. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Lamb that took away the sins of the world. He's the lily of all of my valleys, but he's the lover of my soul. But number four, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. You know who he is? He's the living intercessor. The Bible said in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, he is the mediator. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. At this very moment, you and I, yonder in glory, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, we have an intercessor, a one who can go before the Father on our behalf. Thank God. His words intercede for me. I tell you, I can talk to him and he'll talk to the Father on my behalf. He's my lawyer. He's my go-between. He can get the Father to understand things that nobody else can get him to understand. I'm glad that his words can intercede for me. But I'm glad that not only does his words intercede for me, I'm glad that his wounds intercede for me. I tell you, somebody said, I don't believe when we get to heaven we'll see the scars of Jesus. I beg the difference. I believe for all of eternity we'll be able to see the scars in his hands. I believe we'll be able to see the scars in his feet. I believe we'll be able to see that brow upon which the thorns were put and beat down upon his fevered brow. I believe we'll be able to note the wounded side of our Savior. And when we get to glory, all his wounds intercede for you and I. Years ago, there was a story of a great general in a foreign land who became a great military hero for his country and for his nation. One day while that great general was off fighting a war in another land, word quickly came to that general that he needed to get back to his homeland and back to the palace. He quickly left and came to the palace. Upon arriving at the palace, he found out that his wife had been arrested for treason and she was going to be executed the very next morning. Oh, his heart was broken. He went before the king and he pleaded with all of his heart for the life of his wife, but of no avail. On the very next morning, that general put on his royal uniform. He had all of his trophies and awards that he had won put upon that uniform. And he walked beside of his wife out through the doors into the courtyard. There to the chopping block, his wife was knelt and her head laid upon the block. In a moment her head would be severed for treason. That general stood there at attention and quickly he broke rank and ran and fell down before the king. And he said, Oh, king, and he pulled up his sleeves and he threw open his uniform and he said, "Oh, King, if you won't do it for my words, would you look at these scars and these wounds? I did it for your honor and I did it for your name. If you won't do it for my words, would you do it for my wounds?" And that king said, "Untie her and let her go." I tell you what his words could not do, his wounds did it. Oh, one day at Calvary, our wondrous, wonderful, worthy Lord, Isaiah said, "I gave my backs to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." Oh, listen, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. What words cannot do, thank God the wounds of our Savior. I can't help but think that day that Paul said, who through the eternal Spirit he offered after he died upon that cross. I believe he went to the holiest of holies in heaven. And I believe he showed the Father the precious, rich, royal, righteous, red, redeeming, ransom, reconciling blood that he shed upon that cross. But I believe God the Father saw the wounds of his Son. And oh, he did it just for you and I. Oh, I'm glad tonight to know who my Jesus is. He's the Lamb that took away my sins. He's the lily of all of my valleys. You say, "Preacher, have you ever been in a valley?" Why, sure, the deepest valley I was ever in was that valley right down here at Providence when that little church voted me out because I got in the pulpit and said, "There is no such thing as a Santa Claus." They got so mad at me, they voted me out. And oh, I just about quit. I about threw my Bible down and I didn't want to preach no more. I thank God for the Grace Baptist Church tonight. I thank God for this preacher. And I'll tell you tonight, I've been through the valley. I didn't know if I'd ever come out again. I didn't know if I'd ever pastor again. But oh, I can stand here tonight and say that God does bring you through the valley. And oh, he does do great things. Oh, he's the greatest thing I know. I tell you, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the living intercessor. He's the lover of my soul. Yeah. But oh, may I say tonight, he is the last sacrifice. The Bible said in Hebrews 9 and verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." The Bible said in Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He's the last sacrifice. There's no other way to heaven except the Calvary way, the blood-bought way. You can belong to the church and never make it to heaven. You can get baptized and still not make it to heaven. I tell you, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be born again. I tell you, the only price that God will ever accept to keep you out of hell, it's the blood of his Son. For centuries upon time, can you think in that Old Testament tabernacle, in that courtyard? I tell you, that courtyard was 75 foot wide and 150 foot long. And my friend, out in the front on the east end was that courtyard. On the east end of that 75 foot wide linen fence that went around that tabernacle was that 30-foot gate which in the Hebrew means the way. That gate was called the way. My friend, if you want to get to God, you got to come God's way. When you entered into that east end of that gate called the way, no wonder Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. All God was doing in that Old Testament tabernacle was painting us a portrait of God's wonderful salvation and redemptive plan. When you come through that gate, there you saw that brazen altar. Oh, listen, that altar, there in that courtyard, the blood of the animals was shed. And I tell you, that blood ran down, and that altar, smoked altar, the priest continually made sacrifices, but their work was never done. Paul said in Hebrews 10 and verse 11, and every priest standeth daily offering sacrifices that could never take away sin. But he said, this man, meaning Jesus, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. I tell you, at Calvary, Jesus was that sacrifice of all sacrifices. He was the Lamb of all lambs. God told Moses there in Exodus, down in Egypt, chapter 12. He said, take a lamb and put that lamb up on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, the month of April. And on the evening of the 14th of the month of April, cut that lamb's throat, cut it in a, let it pour into a basin, take a hyssop weed on a cedar handle and apply that blood over top of the doorpost, and then slap it directly over the center of the lintel. That wasn't nothing but a picture of the cross. If you put it on each side of the doorpost and slap it over top of the lintel, that's a picture of Calvary. Oh, there at Calvary, Jesus, the Son of the living God, offered himself as the supreme sacrifice in our stead and in our place. And he cried upon that cross. He cried, it's finished. And that veil of that temple was rent from top to bottom. And an interstate highway was opened up for whosoever will. Who would have ever thought of an old country boy, an Irish boy from Ireland through my ancestry, would ever have an opportunity to be a part of a divine partaker of God's wondrous grace. But because of that sacrifice, thank God he changed my life. And oh, he cried, it is finished. I tell you, no more smoking altars. I know them priests go every day to that wall there in Jerusalem. All that's left of that wall is just them little rocks of that temple. You know what? They're looking for that temple to be built again. They're not looking for the Messiah. They're wanting that temple to be built so they can offer them sacrifices. But oh, there won't be no more sacrifices. I tell you, the sacrifice has come. And oh, listen, thank God there's no more smoking altars. There will be no more bloody sacrifices upon a brazen altar. In AD 33 to AD 70, there had never been another sacrifice upon a Jewish altar. From AD 70 to this day, there's not been no more sacrifices upon a Jewish altar. I tell you, listen, there's not been no more sacrifices since that Wednesday afternoon when they took my Savior down. Yes. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. They all think Jesus died on Friday. I didn't believe that after I became an independent. I believed that before I became a Southern Baptist. I got Southern Baptist preachers won't let me preach no more because I preach that. Well, I believe the book.
Yes, sir.
Right. Book's got to be right. And everybody else got to be wrong. Amen? Let God be true and let every man be a liar. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday evening. If Jesus was put on the cross at the third hour of the morning, which was 9 o'clock, he hung to the ninth hour, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. John's gospel said it was the high Sabbath. See, all them Catholics and all that bunch thinks it was on Friday because they think the next day was Saturday. It was a Sabbath day for the Jews. They don't read their Bible too good, I don't guess. Excuse me. Hey, can I get a witness? Amen? 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 There ain't been no more sacrifices since that Wednesday. The main sacrifice has come. And I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did it for me. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Listen to me. Let me close. It's Jesus or hell. There's only one way. It's not man's way. It's God's way. I'm glad as a little old country boy in the foothills of Virginia, raised on a farm, never took to church by my parents. Thank God for that preacher that come to tell us about the Lord. God changed my life. I'm glad I know who my Jesus is. Do you know who he is? I like these singers that sing about who they know. And they know who they're singing about. I like Steve and Sharon. They know who they're singing about. Hey, some of these groups, all into it is for the money. They don't know who they're singing about. Most of them won't get up and go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Excuse me. Amen. I want somebody to sing to me that knows who they're singing about. I'm a country boy anyway. You done know that. They make fun of me up north. I don't know why. But I'm going to tell you something. They can make fun of me all they want to, and they can say all they want to about me. I've had someone say, "You a nut, Roark, you a nut." I say, "Oh, but praise God, I'm screwed on the right boat." I know a bunch is misthreaded.
Hallelujah,
cross-threaded. Amen, cross-threaded. That's what I meant to say. Amen. They can say all they want to about this old preacher, but I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Let's stand to our feet.